But anyway, with all his heart, we're going to talk about that. 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 21. It reads, "And every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered." There's lessons we can learn from that passage of scripture, and we're going to look at a few of them this evening. King Hezekiah is who this is talking about. He was one of the good kings who reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah. And of course, he wasn't without his faults. He did have some faults, and God kind of got upset with him at one time because what he did, he was filled with so much pride being king. He had some emissaries come from the Chaldeans. Of course, they were a small country and really of no account, you'd think about it. But Hezekiah took them through and showed them all the wealth of his kingdom, all the utensils in the temple and everything that was there. And of course, 100 years later, the Babylonians have come into great power and they said, "Hey, we're going to go get that gold and silver." And that's what they did. So God was upset with Hezekiah for doing that and sent the prophet to tell him, "You know what? The Lord's going to require your life, and you might as well pack it up." But Hezekiah was upset hearing that, so he turned his back towards the wall and lay down on his cot and prayed fervently to God. And God heard the prayer. And so he told the prophet, "Go back, tell him, I'm giving you 15 years. So he was given 15 more years of life, and he was also promised that he would see peace all of his days. Now, King Hezekiah's children, they got the nation into a lot of trouble because they introduced idolatry and things like that. But Hezekiah had a good heart, and he wanted to do right before God. And since God blessed him with some extra time, he chose to do that. So he became a man of God who truly concerned with and realized the importance of the house of God. Because we know from history and the reading of the scriptures that they had neglected the house of God for a very long time. His great-grandfather had actually tried to do some reforms and help things out, but they just reverted back to their old ways. And then Hezekiah's great-grandson was probably the best king of all, King Josiah. And he reinstituted many of the things of the worship which they had neglected for so long because they had hidden the scrolls of the Pentateuch, the Ten Commandments and the law of God written by Moses. And in Josiah's reign, they were cleaning out the cupboards and somebody looked back in a corner and found this parchment and they realized what it was. So, there's this one verse which describes King Hezekiah probably better, and that's what we just read. In every work that he began in the service of the house of God, whether it was by law or commandment, to seek his God, he did with all his heart. Now, if we would apply our heart to everything we do in the service of our God, our attendance would be spectacular. Our relationship with each other would be magnificent. And our worship to God would be outstanding. So that's just something we just need to realize, that God wants us to seek him with our whole heart. And so that's what we're going to talk about. He gave it his best. When it says he did it with all his heart, I mean, he just did his best. A lot of times we get into this routine, and some of us have been doing this for a very long time. I won't mention any dates or anything, but some of us have been doing it for a very long time. And if we're not careful, this can become nothing more than just routine for us. And, well, Sunday comes around, let's go to church. And we really don't pour our hearts into it. We really don't take the time to realize we're coming into the presence of Almighty God. Because he said he would be in our midst when we come to worship him. As Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together, I'm there in your midst. In Isaiah 12, he talks about that he is in our midst as you gather together in God's house. And so when we come into God's house, we're in the presence of God. And yes, we need to conduct ourselves accordingly. We need to be appropriate in our behavior and manner and keep it serious. See, we see in the world what happens when someone tries to do something with his heart into it as compared to someone whose heart is not into it. We see this in the business world. Sometimes people, when you hire somebody, I know being a supervisor, I've hired and fired people, and there were some people, when you hired them, you told them what their job was, they got right to it, and they did the best they could. And even if maybe they weren't the smartest cookie in the box or the brightest, they still applied themselves and worked very hard. And I appreciated those kind of people. But then there's some half-hearted, just drag themselves in. They could care less if they did the job or not. So when that happens, yeah, they're going to get fired. Because we want to see them in their heart putting themselves into it. You know, in sports, when you listen to the coaches being interviewed after their team has won the championship, one of the things you're most likely going to hear every time is, they've got heart. I know when the Rockets in Houston won the championship back in 98 and 99, the coach was just, he could have said, well, they won with skill, they won with finesse, they won with all of this, but no, he just said, they have heart. Because they applied themselves to it, they put themselves in it. And when we as fans are watching players, you know, we watch a player, he hits a ground ball, he legs it out, and we appreciate the effort that he does. Some big fancy star hits a ground, or he just kind of just lumbers along. And guess what? You start hearing some boos. You hear that. Because he's not putting his heart into it. And the fans don't like that at all. So we see that. Sometimes our family life. A lot of families crumble because they don't put themselves into it. They get involved in their selfish ways and they don't want to change. They don't want to compromise or anything like that. And so families fall apart because of that. We're commanded through the scriptures in our marriage relationship to put yourself wholeheartedly into it. And that's what we should be doing. In the raising of our children. You know, nowadays, the parents just kind of click on the TV set and let that TV set raise them while they go off do what they want to do. And that the children are destroyed because of that. And they don't realize that until the children leave home. And how come you don't go to church anymore? I don't see any point. And so, yeah, we have these problems. And just so many different ways. We know what it means to put our heart into something. But what about our spiritual life? Do we ever take time to consider our spiritual life? Do we put our heart into it? Do we put our heart into it when we decide we're going to study God's Word? Do we apply our heart? Do we put our heart into it? Excuse me. What happens when we don't give God our best? When you think about that. What happens when we don't give them our best? Well, there are many people in the Lord's church today who need to take note of Hezekiah's example because we see it. We see it in lax attendance. We see it in maybe the way some of them dress to come to services. I mean, some of us, we've actually seen people walking in their pajamas. I mean, you don't understand why. And yeah, we advertise come as you are, but there's also a matter of protocol that we need to consider. And I mean, if a person just got off work, and I know if he's a grease monkey, just got off work, and he needed to make it services, I've seen people walk into their work clothes. Nobody had a problem with that because his focus was getting here on time to serve the Lord. But you see, some people, they're goofing off all day long, and they just, whatever threads they have on, oh, okay, that's good enough for me. And it's pretty bad. I've seen people come to church with T-shirts with profanity on it. with advertising beer products and things like that. I mean, it just, they're just their heart's not in it. That's the problem. See, and a lot of times they give their leftovers to the Lord. You know, we're to purpose in our hearts what we're going to give to the Lord as far as our contribution. We must have this plan beforehand. But a lot of people, they spend all weekend long, they go to the ball game, they go to movies, they go entertainment to the zoo or whatever. Then all of a sudden, Sunday morning, they reach in their pocket, they only got a few bucks left. I'll give it all to the Lord. I mean, that's really not the way it should be done. But think, when Christ comes again, will he be happy with your leftovers? I don't think so. Do you think you'll hear anything like, "Well done, good and faithful servant," without seeking him with all your heart? And the honest answer is no, it's not going to happen. But yet, we have so many who expect it to happen, don't we? We have so many who are in the church. Just because they're in the church, they feel, okay, I've got an inside track, I'm on my way. And they don't make any effort. They don't share the gospel with anybody. They don't really say their prayers all the time. And they just kind of blend in with the world. They don't let their light shine. But yet they're still expecting the Lord to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That produces a problem for those who are trying to be faithful and seeing people just halfway doing something. It's kind of frustrating. We need to give them our best. See, there's a number of reasons why a servant of the Lord should give his best to God. See, we can find God in Jeremiah 29:13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29:13. Beautiful passage. And it still applies today. Even though that was written in the Old Testament, that thought still applies today. We have to be seeking the Lord with all our heart, and God will allow himself to be found. But if people aren't interested in serving God and they don't want to go with their whole heart, guess what? God's not going to be found by them. And he's going to absent himself from their presence because they're not giving it their all. They don't care. That's what we say about people who don't give it their all. They just don't seem to care. See, in 2 Chronicles 28:9, David said to his son, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." And that's exactly what happened to Solomon. Solomon started out on a good relationship with God, but a few years later, after he got involved with all them wives and they were bringing all their idols with it, his heart turned away from the Lord. And so he lost his standing with the Lord. And so God searches all hearts and minds. Reminds us of Hebrews 4:12. "The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce both bone and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart." And that's what was said about Jesus when they brought him on that day to be dedicated on the eighth day. One of the prophets held him up. "This is the Lord. He'll be able to read hearts and minds. He'll know the intents of hearts." So from the very beginning, at the time of obeying the gospel, arising from the water he gave of baptism to walk in newness of life, and we read about Romans 6:3-4, we become a new self. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." How many times do we try and teach someone and they get baptized and there's no evidence in their life that they've made any change at all? I mean, that's really sad when that happens. I mean, people gotta know that there's something different about you. And sometimes it takes a long time to get there, but still, you know, as Byron was talking about, he says he goes back to the old neighborhood and he's not like he used to be. And it takes a few minutes for people, hey, there's something different about you. You've changed. And that's what we need to do as Christians, is to change. So becoming a new, forgiven, spiritual creation also should tell us that the Lord has some work prepared for us. We know that's true. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We've said many times, when we see the word walk in the New Testament, it's not talking about putting one foot in front of the other and getting from one place to another. Most of the time, the word walk is manner of life. And so, God prepared these works before we even became a Christian. He said, this is what Christians are going to do. So we should be living that way. So let us live, let us walk in these good works with all our heart. And we know the heart is part of the body. There's no question about that. But now we have to get into little technicalities here, because each body has a heart. We know that. That's that physical muscle that's sitting there pumping the blood, and that really kind of, you know, if the heart has a problem, we got a problem. And some of us have experienced that firsthand. But still, the heart is part of the body. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, Paul compares the church to a physical body. And he says we have many parts, we have many members, but there's one head. Jesus Christ is the head. We all have many parts, and we need to depend upon each other. The lungs can't perform what they're supposed to do without the heart. Neither can the brain or any other part of the body. It just will not work. And so the heart is part of that body. And our hearts as Christians, being part of the Lord's body, we're a part of that. Now, what Christ wants from his body is the salvation of souls. And if we're not participating in that, it's like the part of us is dead. It doesn't work anymore. And you know, it's really sad sometimes you see people that maybe one of their body parts doesn't work anymore. Like someone, their arm just hangs there. They have no use of it, can't pick anything up, it just hangs there. They do everything else with the other hand. Or some of them lose the use of their legs, and so they have to go around in a wheelchair or something. And then, of course, sometimes internally we have parts, gallbladders and things like that sometimes have to come out. And yes, they serve a purpose, and you take it out, the body suffers. But one way they compare is that all the members have a place of service. In every church, all the members have a duty, they have a responsibility, and they have a place. So just because women cannot stand in the pulpit and preach doesn't mean that they are exempt from teaching. We have to understand that. We teach in different ways. We teach by example. We teach by word of mouth. We sometimes actually get someone to listen to us, and we sit down with the Bible in our hand and say, this is what the Lord says. We teach. We do that. And there's other things of service that we do. And of course, giving encouragement. A lot of congregations have mostly women in the congregation, and they should be there encouraging the men, not only to be faithful, but to be strong and to excel even more in what they're doing. So it's uplifting to receive words of encouragement. See, Paul explained how God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. God selects each and every one of us, and he puts us into service. He puts us into use as long as we're willing to do what he wants us to do. It might be in leading singing, leading in prayer, assisting on the Lord's table, preaching, whatever. He uses us for that purpose. The text also teaches that each member is important. You remember the passage talk about the unseemly characters, the unseemly parts? Yeah, these are the private parts which we need to little extra care to cover up. Make sure nobody sees those things. And we sometimes need to protect those, especially on the sports field. We need to protect those things. And so they're kind of unseemly. Nobody's supposed to see it, but you know what? They're still a part of the body. And if they hurt, the rest of us hurts. We know how that goes. Some body parts might seem to be weaker than others. And of course, we know this in the marriage relationship. The man is encouraged to take care of the wife because she is the weaker vessel. And in physical strength, that's very true. Not necessarily in mental strength, but in physical strength. And so some members are weaker. And we would understand that as we have a new convert. They haven't been doing this for 20 or 30 years, and so they need some help. They need some assistance. So we're supposed to take those and work with them to encourage them, explain why we do certain things so that they can learn to understand, and eventually they'll get to that point where they will be a mentor instead of a student. Another problem we have to consider is the fact of how much time have we wasted. See, one of the wonderful things that can be of great assurance and comfort to the members of the Lord's body, and which is His church, is that none of the time given to the Lord's work is wasted. No time at all. That if we're applying ourselves to the Lord's work, it's not wasted effort. It is not wasted at all. We may not see any results, but if we're trying to teach someone, that is the Lord's work, and it's going to pay off somehow, some way. Whether the people we're teaching respond or not, it's going to pay off for us. And we have to look at it that way. Anything we do for the Lord is not a wasted effort. But think of all the things we do. How many times do we get home, flip on the TV set, and watch 3, 4, 5 programs? Time to go to bed, get up next morning, go to work, come home, sit down in front of the TV, 3, 4, 5 programs. You know, that's wasted time. We might get a laugh out of it. We might get some enjoyment and watch the action and everything. But you know what? That is wasted time. Profitable time is spent in studying God's Word or doing work for the Master and serving Him by teaching. And we all should feel a little sense of the fact that we've wasted a lot of our lives. All of us, we have. And we should do the best to make up for that lost time in the little time we have left. We waste so much time in so many areas. But never is time wasted when we are engaged in the service of the Lord, whether it's coming to services or preparing for Bible classes or just coming up and cleaning up the building, anything like that. It is not a wasted effort. And the Lord recognizes that. This is one of those cases where, you know, when Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven, that's one way we do it. Do something for the Lord, we're laying up our treasure in heaven. So Paul said to the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now that passage says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, some people want to interpret this, well, just be faithful and try not to sin too much, and you qualify. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to be involved in the work of the Lord. And we know that it's not in vain. God will remember it. Because there's blessings are going to come. When we work for the Lord with all the heart, blessings are going to start flowing into our lives. Some of us who have been around a long time, we recognize those blessings and we understand them. We know that these things happen for a reason, and we give God the glory for these things. And we realize that we have blessings all around us, which things that most people take for granted, they don't realize they're blessings. And they are. And the more we serve the Lord, the greater these blessings will jump out at us and remind us, this is what God has done for me. God is so good. We must remember that. Consider Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. You be kind to someone. Guess what? God's going to be kind with you. You treat someone nice. You help them out. You teach them. Guess what? God is going to be pleased with you. And we know that all spiritual blessings are only in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So, yes, God blesses us, but we need to be in Christ. And of course, that how to get into Christ, we know that, the God's plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And then, of course, we need to stay in Christ. We need to be faithful. But in addition to this, it's a blessing to know that if we are faithfully serve Him while here on earth, when He returns, He will reward us with eternity. It says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and He will reward each according to his works. Yes, He's going to reward everyone according to their works. In the passage it says, we'll be judged according to the deeds of our flesh. I mean, we're going to have certain things. He has His book of deeds. He has His book of remembrances. He has the Lamb's book of life. And He has the Bible. The books that will be opened in Revelation 20 and verse 15. Those are the books. And if we do keep, if we constantly keep it in our mind, do something for the Lord, God's going to remember that. And He will reward us as He has promised. Like we say, there'll be no sweeter words than to hear Him say on that great day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And yes, we all want to hear that. We all want to hear those words. But the only way we're going to hear those words, if we put our heart into the service of the Lord. See, applying the heart to God's work. When we as faithful Christians work and seek to make His body strong, we are helping the church whom the Lord loves, whom the Lord gave His life for. When we are working to make it strong, how do we make the church strong? Yes, we bring in more members, but yet we build each other up. We're being built up on the faith of the apostles and the apostles' doctrine. We're being built up as living stones, as Peter wrote there in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're being built up as living stones into a strong house. And of course, the Lord is the cornerstone of this. We learn from the parable of Jesus, our duty is to help the church grow in strength and number. We read the parables of Jesus, and what do we learn about those? We read about the man who owned this field, and he had a plant over here. It wasn't producing. He kind of got upset and told him, you dig that thing up and throw it in the fire. But the person who was in charge of the land, the husbandman, said, I tell you what, give me a chance. Let me dig around it, toil it around, put some fertilizer around it. And next year, if it produces fruit, fine, you have what you want. But if not, we'll cut it down. Throw it in the fire. So, as Christians, our job is to help the church grow, whether in spiritual strength or numeric strength. That's our job, to help the church grow, to be strong. And that sometimes means taking some measures, like if the preacher stops preaching the truth, it's time to get rid of that preacher. And some tough calls have to be made from time to time. But that's how the church grows. And sometimes even tragedies help the church to grow much stronger. Back in 2001, there was a tropical storm came through Houston. And it went through Houston, dropped about 12, 14 inches, got up about 200 miles in reverse course, came back and dropped another 40 inches on the city. Our congregation, there was water all the way up to the top of the pews, and it was just, everything was just messed up. But we didn't have a lot of money, so what did we do? All the members got together, we cleaned it out, we cleared it out, And we rebuilt. And we were much stronger. We were united in a purpose. And we became much stronger. And so some of us have seen things like that. And we know what that means. See, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus applied himself, gave himself for it. And what God asks of us? Give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to the church. Because he is the Savior of the body, which is the church. And we know he purchased the church with his own blood. He is glorified in the church. Ephesians 3:21. See, our faith and obedience must come from the heart. We know that. We have to apply ourselves. Romans 6:17, you obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart. They used to be terrible people, but they changed their ways. And Paul commended them for that. We obey from the heart. Salvation is on the doorstep. See, a child of God who has but little time for the Lord's service is not walking in good works, as the Word teaches. And sadly, there's many who walk around, their name may be on a membership roll, but they're not doing anything for the Lord. And they're going to have a big surprise when Judgment Day gets here. See, a faithful Christian, like Hezekiah, devotes himself to the Lord's cause and gives his best. He will finish his course with everlasting joy, for he does it with all his heart. You put our heart into it, and you know you're doing something good. You have a good feeling about yourself. You don't have to say, well, I'm no good, I'm worthless, or woe is me. You don't have to do that when you're doing something for the Lord. You build yourself up and lift yourself up. Because it's all worth it as we look at that. So consider those thoughts. There's lots of lessons we can learn from just simple little passages throughout the Bible. And this is one of those passages. So consider those thoughts. We're going to sing an invitation. Those who need to respond to the gospel, which I don't recognize anybody here needing to do that. But if you haven't been faithful like you should, if you haven't been applying your whole heart to the service of the Lord, it's time to rededicate your life and start doing that once again. So if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Bring Christ your broken heart, so marred by sin, he will create anew, make whole again. Your empty waste of years, he